Today, we're going to tackle a topic that is seriously and for sure going to be a controversial topic that's going to piss off a lot of people and that's going to make some people happy, but it is a conversation that we must have, and we must have this conversation on a serious level, offer serious and real solutions for the enterprise and for those folks that are actually thinking about it. Now, be gentle in the comments. I'm sure everyone's got their opinion, their approach on this. I'm giving you my perspective on this, and the topic today is going to be on, are there serious alternatives to VMware? Let's check it out. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. I'm Elias Kneser, and today we are going to answer the very controversial question of, are there serious alternatives to VMware in the enterprise? Now, if you like this type of content, don't forget to like. It really helps the channel grow. Don't forget to subscribe. Share this video. I'm sure this video is going to be controversial. Leave your comments below. Be nice. We all have opinions and we all are here to learn from one another. I'm going to give you my opinion as someone who's built their career on VMware. I've written books on VMware. I've done training material at Pluralsight, on TrainSignal. I've done a lot of deployments when I was a consultant with VMware. VMware is very near and dear to my heart. But this is a topic that we must tackle, and we must tackle this topic in a serious way. I'm seeing a lot of YouTubers that are giving out some solutions out there, and I keep shaking my head, and I'm like, this is a joke. I'm reading some articles, and I'm like, you guys have never touched a keyboard. You've never been in a strategy meeting. You've never architected anything in your life. So today, humbly, I want to talk about this topic. So go ahead, kill me in the topics in the comments if you must, but you know, try to be nice. So all of you are aware that VMware was acquired by Broadcom not too long ago, and Broadcom is introducing sweeping changes to VMware in terms of licensing, moving away from perpetual licensing. They're getting rid of the free version of VMware. They're getting rid of a lot of the components of VMware, the company like VDI and Carbon and a whole bunch of other things. So they're reshaping this company. They're moving to a subscription-based model, the whole thing, right? So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. So this has many nervous, whether it is you are someone new and you thought you were going to build your career and training and certification on VMware and you are going to become a VMware admin and an architect, engineer, etc. Or whether you're an enterprise that's taking a step at this and saying, this is going to be expensive. It is going to go up a lot. Some estimates have it, you know, 10x or more. Some estimates have it less. The bottom line is, it's going to go up, right? I'm not going to sit here and get into the nitty-gritty of pricing, and at some point I'm going to have some salesperson in the comments that come in and talks to me about, you know, how they can keep the pricing where it is. I'm not going to get into that, but I think there's general consensus that the pricing is going to go up. There's subscription-based licensing, that's the new approach. So all of that is happening. And at the same time, there are people that are starting to move away, starting to think about moving away, and where do we go? Like, what do we move away to becomes the serious question. So today I want to answer that straight up. So if you were a customer of mine, if you were to get my advice as a friend, whatever you want to call it, and come to me and say, hey, Eli, we're thinking about moving away from VMware. And what do you think? I would tell you today, there are no alternatives to VMware. The answer is no. Now, I'm going to qualify this answer because the answer is never no, right? The answer should have been, from my perspective as an analyst, it depends. But I want to talk to you about why I'm saying this very strict no. Now, before I say why, I want to talk about some of the alternatives that VMware does have. There's what we're hearing from YouTubers and people that have home labs and, you know, Proxmox, XCP, NG, whatever these names are, and Unraid, and no disrespect to any of these companies. I use some of them in my home lab, and I like them. I like Proxmox a lot. Would I ever recommend Proxmox for an enterprise customer? Hell no. Including all of these other things. I'm not going to sit here and name them. And again, there's so many YouTubers that are pushing some of these solutions as, you know, we're moving away to this. No, you're not moving away anything. You're moving away your home lab. In the enterprise, it's a completely different story. When I was first starting off with VMware and we were starting to think about how we're going to bring it into the enterprise, how we're going to virtualize. I mean, when I saw VMware for the first time, this was way, way back. I'm talking VMware. I went to training on VMware 2.4-ish, official training. That was right around the time that vMotion was introduced. It was a 5-day in-person class. I got to Wednesday morning. I saw vMotion. I left the class, didn't finish the class, went back and said, we are going to virtualize everything. And people were laughing at me. Very few knew what virtualization was. Now, the challenge, the hurdles that I encountered when I went back and said that, aside from the technical ones that we're going to talk about, was you're not even going to put a virtual machine in the Active Directory domain. That was how much they didn't understand the technology, how much they were worried about it. We had to create a separate domain just to register the VM, which was ridiculous, I understand. But this was the position of the organization that I was with. Now, what were the challenges that we were facing as engineers, admins, architects, as we were starting, as VMware was becoming more popular, as it was becoming more mature, as there was consensus, okay, we are going to virtualize as much as we can. The biggest challenge that we had were applications. If, for example, for those of you that remember, for a very long time, Oracle didn't support Oracle databases on VMware, although some of us did it anyway. But the licensing became a problem with Oracle because it was CPU. I mean, there was a lot of challenges, but there were also technical challenges in that Oracle wasn't certifying that their software would work on VMware. I am not picking on Oracle here, by the way. I'm just giving an example. There are a lot of tier one applications that today work on VMware that are certified on VMware, that you can get technical support from the application developers on VMware. The first question you have to ask yourself, if you move to whichever other virtualization platform that you want, can you do it? Will your application development software, will it even work? Will it be supported? It might work. You might be able to deploy it, but will it be supported? So I want you to think about that as I'm mentioning some alternatives, some serious alternatives to VMware, because there are serious alternatives. You will never hear me suggesting a Proxmox or an XCPNG or an Unraid or some of these other companies. I feel like those are more for home lab. Proxmox, I'm sure someone's going to come up and say, well, they have support. Their support is at enterprise scale. Is it at the level of VMware support? I mean, we can start to get into some of the nitty-gritty of this, but let's start with, are there serious alternatives to VMware? And the answer is yes. For example, my personal favorite, if you absolutely had to move, I would say start with Nutanix. That would be the first place that I would advise you to begin your assessment. I will tell you, in my experience, my opinion, I don't think Nutanix is 100% replacement for the entire suite, the capabilities, the features. So it really depends on what you're using. What you have there, like, it depends on the environment, it depends on your knowledge, it depends on a lot of things, but I would start with Nutanix. That would be my first place to go, would be Nutanix. After Nutanix, I would definitely give Microsoft a spin, whether it's Hyper-V or a whole slew of other capabilities that Microsoft has. Number three would probably be Red Hat for me. I would definitely be taking a look at Red Hat. I would definitely be taking a look and revisiting, although I've used it in the past, Citrix. That would be another player. Oracle would be another player that I would definitely take a look at. There are other open source capabilities. SUSE has some. OpenStack, maybe you want to look at OpenStack. The problem with OpenStack is it never really took off for a variety of reasons. I've made videos on this. I'm not going to revisit this. But these are potential alternatives to VMware. But again, would I do it? No. My advice would be you stay with VMware. You pay the difference, the price. Broadcom knew what they were doing when they've made all of these announcements, when they acquired VMware, when they're chopping up VMware into different components and selling them off. They know what they're doing. Is the subscription-based a bad idea? I don't think it is. I personally believe in subscription-based. Why is subscription-based bad? We do it with email, right? Email was one of the biggest applications at one point. Guess what? It is subscription-based today, right? We do it with CRM and ERP. All of these are tier one applications. So why not VMware? As a matter of fact, one of the advice that I've always given the VMware team, the management team, when I was still, you know, with some of the research companies that I've worked for was, you need to SaaSify this platform, folks. Keep ESXi on premises. That's the footprint that you install on the servers. But everything else should be SaaSified. It should be subscription-based. It is the right approach. Now, I don't agree with what they're doing with the price increases and how they're breaking up the company and selling it. I don't even know how you would sell EUC, right? I mean, the whole EUC platform is built on the ESXi hypervisor. So How does that get chopped off? Does it get support with a different hypervisor? Do you bundle a special version? That's the messy part of what Broadcom is doing. But from a subscription-based, I think that's the right approach. I think you can go to market with faster features. You can bring things to the SaaSification platform a lot faster. You can support it a lot better. Why not have vCenter and all of these other capabilities subscription-based and SaaSified? That is the right approach, in my opinion. And in my opinion, today and for the foreseeable future, organizations are not going to move away from VMware, and they are going to pay the licensing difference, even if it is more expensive. Now, does that mean that you should stay on VMware? Do I see a long-term future for VMware? Here's where it gets interesting. Here's where I kind of choke a little bit. Here's where I am sad a little bit. So again, as advice, today I would say stay. Do whatever you need to do. It's business as usual. But you should start looking to the future as far as, do you want to stay on VMware? Now, this whole trend of moving to the cloud started 10 years ago. And people have been moving to the cloud. Most of us have a presence in the cloud. Many of us no longer have an infrastructure on premises. I'm a believer that the data center is dead. Now, does that mean the data center is going to go away? No. It means the data center's footprint is going to shrink. You're going to have a lot less stuff on premises. So one of the things that you should be thinking about is, can I move to the cloud? This would be a good opportunity, instead of thinking of how to shift your applications to another hypervisor on premises, take this as an opportunity to start assessing your applications, tier one or others, to move them to the cloud. Why? Because these tier one applications are going to be more likely certified on an Amazon Web Services, on an Azure, on a Google Cloud platform, etc., than they will on some of these on-premises hypervisors. So you have a lot of options when you go to the cloud. Fantastic options: AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, IBM Cloud, Alibaba. There are a ton of capabilities that you can go. And here's the other thing, here's the opportunity, and here's kind of a little bit of why I'm a little confused, because this is a golden opportunity specifically for Microsoft. Hello, Microsoft. I mean, if you don't move now, when are you going to move? Google. This is your opportunity. So all of these organizations for a while now have been having hybrid. They've kind of gone with this hybrid thing, right? So AWS has Outpost, Azure has Azure Stack, and a whole family of other capabilities that can be deployed on premises. Google has distributed cloud, Oracle has at customer. They all have these appliances. Hello, this is a good time to start putting together migration plans, putting together capabilities, putting together technical capabilities, throwing consultants at this, starting to help organizations move to this new hybrid model where they can still put stuff on premises using your hyperconverged infrastructure, let's call it, but also start moving into the cloud. AWS, for the longest time before they signed up this VMware partnership, they believed that, well, why do I even need to have anything on premises? Oh, now's the time to take that and double click on it. Now's the time to help these customers, even if you move them to your VMware services that are running on your cloud platforms, right? So instead of going to the subscription-based model, maybe shift them to vSphere on AWS, Azure, or Google. I'm not, you know, the VMware Cloud on AWS or in whatever all of the other names are concerned. This is the time. I don't understand why there is not sales teams that are jumping on this opportunity. It's a golden opportunity. It's a perfect time to do this. So that would be an area that I would start thinking about as an enterprise, of leveraging the cloud, of thinking of, how do I move these services to the cloud? Now, here's the other catalyst of why you want to be thinking about this. I believe that artificial intelligence, that AI, has changed the conversation forever. I believe that AI, if there were any holdouts left on premises, AI is going to accelerate the move to the cloud. Folks, you can continue to hug the server, hug the data center as much as you want. The reality of the matter, we are in a subscription-based economy. The reality of the matter is AI will force you to the cloud. Maybe not all in, but you're not going to stay on premises anymore. This idea that you can hold off Unless you don't want to leverage AI, and that would be a mistake. Even if you're a small business, and I've given the example of my dad's restaurant many times, even a single restaurant like my dad's will leverage AI at some point. And if you are planning on leveraging AI, you're unlikely to do it on premises. Can you? Yes, but again, if you have a real consultant, if you have someone that cares about your business, they are not going to advise you to do this on-prem for a variety of reasons that are outside of the scope of this video. So that puts you in the cloud one more time. So now you're thinking of, well, VMware has this situation. AI is here. All right, let's sit down and figure out how do we start moving to the cloud slowly, carefully, at the right time. That would be the advice that I would give. Here are some other reasons I want to make sure that I'm completing the circle of why I don't recommend the Nutanixes and the Microsoft, even though they're capable. We talked about the application support. All of these hypervisors have never been tested at scale the way that VMware has been tested at scale in the enterprise. I don't care what kinds of deployments they have. They have not been tested at scale. They haven't gone through the rigorous testing, the challenges. The problem again is now you have with VMware a significant community that's supporting. So other than technical support, you have a large community of folks that really understand VMware that can help. You have a problem, you go type it. Someone's seen it before. It's happened to someone. You'll be able to address your problem, keep your business going. That has an impact on cost. Think about that. Again, if everything is tying back to cost, you want to think about this. You're going to lose that when you go to some of these other providers. Some of them are popular. But have they seen all of these challenges? Not like VMware. So that I don't take a position, I'm just gonna say not like VMware. VMware, the company, also has a large suite of features and capabilities, whether it's Site Recovery Manager. Again, I'm not gonna go through all of vSAN, all of these capabilities, some of which other hypervisors also have. But again, I'm trying to highlight here all of the capabilities, whether it's from a virtual networking to all of the things that are part of this VMware suite that you should be thinking about, that you should be considering. Hardware compatibility with your storage vendors as well. Now, you might say, well, most of them have virtual SANs or some of them are hyper-converged. Okay, fine. I'm totally cool with that, but there are enterprises that are still using, you know, Hitachi SANs or, you know, the old EMC SANs or the NetApps of the world. You know, there needs to be compatibility there from a hardware perspective. Those pose challenges for us in the past. If you're doing a virtual SAN, will this virtual SAN perform the same way that the VMware virtual SAN was performing? And again, when virtual SAN has issues, that's a world of pain for those of you that have been there and done that. Certifications, training, advanced services, consulting, there's an entire ecosystem that's built around VMware that the other providers might not have. So that also should be taken into consideration when you're thinking about that. So there's a lot of capabilities that VMware brought to the table. There's VDI, okay, right? I mean, there's EUC, there's all of that. Now that's going to a different company. So should we go back to Citrix? Well, I love Citrix. I've always been a supporter of Citrix. Haven't touched the platform in a long time. But does that mean you move to Citrix? I don't know. Citrix is definitely capable. It is enterprise scale. I'm sure it'll take anything that you've got on the VMware EUC and you can migrate it to Citrix. But is Citrix in a better position? I mean, what's to stop something like a Citrix from getting a Broadcom any of these days? That's why when you take a step back, I think the cloud is the most obvious choice, the safest choice, the right choice, slowly. There's no urgency in what you're doing, slowly. Now, that brings us to you, the engineer, the architect, the person that has invested in themselves, that have built their careers like I had in the past around VMware. Those of you that are starting out, that wanted to go down the path of VMware certifications. Where does that leave you? I'm going to give you a mixed signal, mixed advice, so to speak. I'm going to give you what I would do, and then you can take this and apply it to yourself. If you're just starting out and you've already charted a course on VMware, I would continue. For the foreseeable future, for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years, there's gonna be a significant amount of VMware still in the enterprise. So whatever you're doing, I think you're gonna be fine. You're gonna find a job. It'll be totally cool. But I wouldn't stop there because you're just starting on your career. Your career is not going to just last 5 or 6 or 10 years. you want to make sure you're looking forward. And as a result, I would start to take AWS and Azure and Google and other certifications that are cloud-based. I would start to understand artificial intelligence and all of the capabilities that it's going to bring to the table and how it impacts you as an engineer, as an administrator, as an architect, not necessarily always as a developer. So understanding that, be familiar with that. That is the future. So I wouldn't stop. Those of you that are seasoned engineers and architects that have not began to take these certifications with the cloud providers, don't understand the cloud providers, don't have knowledge, don't have any practical skill sets with these cloud providers, I would advise this would be a good time to start looking at this. Look, folks, it's unfortunate what's happened with VMware. It really is. And I don't want to tap myself on the back because, again, I don't know if that would have made a difference. But I am a strong believer. You know, when we were at Gartner, this is going back, right? 2015-ish time frame. We sat with the VMware management, Pat Gelsinger and all the rest. And the biggest mistake, in my humble opinion, that they made was get rid of VMware vCloud Air. That was the Achilles heel. There was no reason to do that. They were afraid of the investment and how much they would need to invest to be able to scale it. I don't believe that was the reason. They got rid of VMware vCloud Air when cloud was starting to climb because they didn't believe in it. If you remember, before they struck the partnership with AWS, they were attacking it. You know, Pat was attacking AWS and this whole cloud notion, and they were playing it down. They didn't see this coming, is the challenge that I believe VMware had. Had they not gotten rid of VMware vCloud Air, in my opinion, today would have been a different conversation. They got rid of it, and then they built all of the components that they would have needed for vCloud Air. Whether it's, you know, the containers, whether it's the hypervisor, whether it's the financial management tools, whether it's EUC, they had all of it. But then they got rid of the most important part, which was the part that was growing, and that was a huge miss for VMware. So to recap, to wrap this up, and I'd love to hear your opinion in the comments below. You are going to pay whatever price Broadcom is going to ask. You're not going to move away from VMware today. Subscription-based model is not necessarily bad. And yes, it's going to be more expensive. But today, that's your only choice. Realistically, that's your only choice. That means this is a good time. It's a good opportunity to start planning for what you're going to do next, because I also don't recommend that you stay with this choice. Given everything that's happening in the world, specifically artificial intelligence, you cannot stay there. And let me tell you where I see this. I'm going to make another video on this a little bit later, but let me tell you why I believe artificial intelligence is going to change stuff for us as engineers and architects. Take something like an Amazon Q or a Microsoft Copilot or the Google Gemini, etc. I expect as an administrator at one point to log into my AWS management console and see nothing other than Amazon Q. And then I want to tell Amazon Q if I'm trying to deploy a CloudFormations template. I want to be able to use infrastructure as code creator through Amazon Q. I want to tell Amazon Q to update something that I've done in IAC creator. I want to interact with Q to, hey, I'm trying to create a BCDR plan, and I want you to take into account multiple availability zones in this region. And I want you to also take into account failover to another AWS region. And on top of all of that, I want you to also give me an option to failover completely to a Microsoft Azure region. And I want it to come back with a proposed design, proposed architect. Some of you are going to attack me. Some of you are going to call this unrealistic. It's not unrealistic. And you can attack me all you want, but the fact is we're moving in that direction. We're going to be able to interact with artificial intelligence assistants like Q and Copilot and Gemini to leverage their knowledge of their platform to create the best architected environment possible for our use. That's where it's going. And we're not going to do this on premises. As much as I love VMware, I do feel like mistakes were made, specifically vCloud Air. I keep going back to vCloud Air. That was the mistake. We're here today. There's no panic. Unfortunately, you have to pay the licensing fees. Take advantage of it. Plan accordingly. And remember, AI is going to change things. And I'm not one that's falling for all of the AI hype and marketing, but there's a sense of reality here. Just look around you. Look at everything that AI is touching. And my advice, respectfully, is don't be naive. Finally, I hope this content was informative. If it was, give me a big like, share this video, comment below. I love you all. Thank you for all the support. I'll see you in the next one.